Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down.
It's the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I'm Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me in the studio. Last weekend, I took my mom, my daughter, and my wife to a building downtown right opposite the cityscape. It's in the Bank of America Plaza for the St. Louis introduction to the Da Vinci Machines exhibition. This is an exhibition of some of the actual works of the great Leonardo da Vinci, things that were done 500 years ago. Stunning, stunning technology by one of the obviously smartest men ever. And while I was there, I met some of the people who run it. And at the end of it, I went up to the guy at the counter and introduced myself, and he introduced himself, and turns out he's one of the curators of the exhibition. He's not just the guy running the gift shop there. He's the guy who's in charge of it. His name is John Rogers. And I said, John, you got to come on the show and talk a little bit about this stunning exhibition. So welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks so much, Paul.
And thanks for bringing this to St. Louis. For people who may not know anything about Leonardo da Vinci, name just a couple of things he's famous for, besides that ridiculous Dan Brown book and movie.
Well, you know, when I first got involved with the Leonardo da Vinci, I really didn't have any concept of the total scope of what a true genius he was. Mm-hmm. And he literally is basically the father of our civilization in regard to knowledge. And when you look on the list of the things that he's invented there, he invented the parachute, he invented the ball bearing, he invented the spring, he invented... In the newest addition to the exhibit down there is we have a new that he was a real thinker in his own lifetime, and people would come up to him and say, what about this and what about that? And he literally came up with the idea on how they actually built the pyramids, and we've got that down there now as well. Mm-hmm. And then once you move past that, the interesting thing is that when he was noted as a scholar, as so knowledgeable, and not just one area, but he talks about the machines, and he made his money initially with the military ideas that he had. But he's also involved with anatomy and physics, and just how one man can just circumvent or transcend all these areas it took me a while, really, to mentally digest it.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened with me last weekend. I did not know that before Leonardo da Vinci, nobody had done an autopsy. Mm. It was, you know, the early 1500s, and the church was really not happy about this. And in those days, the church was the authority, and they thought it was sacrilege.
It was sacrilegious and illegal. Yeah. And literally, during the last 3 years of his life, Leonardo was asked to leave Italy, and he ended up in France. King Francis I invited him over there. But when you get into the autopsy, what he did with the human body is that the drawing of the Vitruvian man that you all see, it is said to be an average of all the male bodies that he measured up. And that's where we get our word virtual from. And when he was going through this anatomy, a friend of his had died at an early age, and he was really upset about it, and he wanted to find out why he died, and he started an autopsy on him, and he noticed that there was hardening of the arteries around his heart.
Yeah.
And he's the first documented person that we know of that made notes that what you ate affected your health, and he became a strict vegetarian after that. So 500 years ago, yeah, he knew knowledge.
That's the stunning part of it. We're talking about the year 1500. We're in the year 2012. This was 1500, a guy was smart enough not only to be able to say, I'm going to cut into this body, but then to make detailed maps of the human body, where all the organs were, where the arteries went, where the vein, I mean, the whole circulatory system. That's a stunning
Amazing.
Thing. If you woke up today and tried to come up with something like that, I'm not sure that there's anything left that this guy didn't discover 500 years ago.
Well, I saw on one of the PBS stations just a couple months ago that they said that he's going along with your saying with the autopsy that he made notes that the heart is the first one to make notes that the heart didn't actually pump, that it twists. And he should now be given credit for the invention or the contributions of the heart valve.
Mm-hmm.
One other thing that I think is fascinating is that to show what a true genius that he was, is that he not only could see a problem or and come up with an idea to solve that problem, but he also could look down line into the future, and he could see exactly what was the good and the bad of his invention. For instance, he's gone his way over to see the Duke of Milan with his war ideas, and he'd come up with a drawing with the submarine, and he surmised that, you know, the submarine could only be used for, quote, what he thought underwater assassination. And he thought this was horrible. He loved human life. He loved the human being. Everything that he did in his life was a preservation of human life. And he literally tore up his drawings in the carriage on his way over to see the Duke of Milan. And it wasn't until like 200 years later during the First World War that the submarine was built, and that the exact thing that he thought of 500 years before that was used for assassination during that. I mean, it's just amazing when you go on and on.
It is amazing. Talking with John Rogers, one of the curators of the Da Vinci Machines exhibition, which is downtown in the Bank of America Plaza building. It was an open space that they decided, hey, this will be a nice place to put our stuff. And they have a wonderful exhibit space down there. It's at Market and 8th Street. I highly recommend you go. I want to talk about just a couple of the things that he had there that were military related. Some of them were such simple ideas. Now, remember, we're talking about, again, the year 1500, when you had people living in castles, and the invading army would come and they would have to attack the castle, or maybe there'd be walls around a city and they had to attack that. So how would they attack it and get in there? They would have these gigantic ladders that they would bring and lean up against the wall. So what do the people inside do to deal with the people who are coming with the ladders? Da Vinci came up with this idea. Well, you explain the idea.
Well, it's the assault ladder. And he brought it back that not only, I mean, it could be used at multiple attack points during an invasion of a castle, but he also angled it at such an angle that it didn't go straight up and down. So they were pouring the boiling oil or whatever, burning hay or whatever, that it came at such an angle that they couldn't push it away.
This is the thing that always amazed me whenever I see those old pictures of old wars from that era. You know, they had the pot of boiling oil. How they got a pot of boiling oil, don't ask me, but they got it up to the roof.
Yeah, not that high up.
And the guys are going straight up on a ladder, and the guy's pouring oil down on them, and then the other guys go up the straight ladder. And Da Vinci goes, what if we angled the ladder? Hey! But then there's the other part of it, which is, how do you defend your castle or your walled city against that? He came up with this idea of, well, if we put a pole on the outside with holes and rods inside, when they put their ladders up and they climb up that, and we push that ladder out, it'll push their ladders over and they'll fall over. It's like, you know, it's one of those things that goes, well, that was incredibly simple. No one else thought of that.
You know, and he, basically, when he took that first idea that they call it the assault prevention system that he had.
Yeah.
I mean, he took that to the next level, as you said again, that he saw that and said, okay, what's next? And what's next?
Right.
And that's the thing that's just totally amazing for him. The military thing that he moved right away into flight. You know, we've got the first glider there but he was able, it didn't really work as well as he would have liked because your head fit through the top part of it, what that would do to your throat and neck. But what he accomplished by that experiment was that for a human being to fly, your wings had to be parallel to the horizon. And that was the basics of every airship that we've had.
Right.
This
guy was coming up with ideas about flight 400 years before the Wright brothers. He's got a thing that was the predecessor to the helicopter. He's got the original idea for the parachute and all the rest of these things. And I just want to go back to the military.
Oh, I didn't mean to move off that.
No, for one other thing, you have something, and I didn't quite understand exactly what this was when I first heard about it, so I had to come down to the exhibition. This is one of the things I came down there to see. It was the predecessor to the tank. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know.
Okay. Can you explain what that is?
Well, Leonardo came up with the idea. He was basically born out of wedlock. And he was basically kept out of the educational system until his early teens. And he roamed throughout nature, and that's where he got all of his ideas. And he came up with the first tank, and it was shaped like the shell of a turtle or a tortoise as a protection. And he first designed that for horses, because they had cannons inside. You know, cannons and horses don't mix that well.
Yeah.
And he quickly designed it for the human being. But the really interesting part about that is that's what we call, that the Da Vinci exhibit people call, the beginning of the Da Vinci Code. Because when you look at his CODIS, his book that was right next door, I mean, he had a solid piece of a metal in there. And he shows this to the Duke of Milan, and he says, do you like this? And the Duke says, yeah, I do like it. He goes, you know, but Leonardo, I got one problem with it. He goes, what's that? He goes, it doesn't work. And you know what Leonardo says to him? Am I getting paid? Are you paying me? And then it wasn't until he was happy when he got paid, he tells the Duke to cut a piece of that bar out of there, and the whole thing would roll back and forth.
Beautiful.
500 years ago, he had his own copyright. Yeah. 500 years ago, he knew he had to protect his ideas. But also, he didn't want his ideas to be used for ill. And he wanted to make sure that if they fell in the wrong hands, that, you know, they would have to come back to him, and he could make the judgment whether or not to pass it on or not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing... The amazing ideas that just kept coming from this man is just remarkable.
When you go to see the Da Vinci Machines exhibition in downtown St. Louis, part of it is interactive. You can actually see some of the designs that Da Vinci did. You guys have recreated some of his actual designs, and people can actually, I was going to say play with them. You don't want them to play with them, but you can actually operate some of these.
Oh, absolutely. That was the main idea for the entire exhibition. I've had people come through the exhibition and say they've seen something in New York where they just had his codices, or his pictures of his books and just his drawings.
Yeah.
We've actually taken this into life. This is exactly how when Leonardo walked down through his workshop, he would tell his assistants, you know, move this over here, move this, move that ball bearing here to make this work better. And this is exactly how, if he was alive today, and we give the tours on the weekends through there, we explain to them just the way Leonardo would explain during his lifetime. He was an event planner as well. And when he had the parties and the masquerades and the balls of his era, the Medici family and the Dukes would say, Leonardo, bring out whatever you're working on and explain it to everybody.
That's just like my parties.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
So he'd bring out his robot. He'd bring out his assault ladder, and he'd explain it to everybody. It's quite an amazing thing.
All right, so you've got the tours on the weekend. You've also got the machines there. You've got a video in the back that runs something like 45 minutes, which really tells an enormous amount of his life. You also have his most famous paintings, the two most famous paintings of his. One, of course, is The Last Supper, and the other one is The Mona Lisa. What have you learned about The Mona Lisa by studying this?
Well, the Mona Lisa, it was his most famous. The reason we call it his most famous painting because it was also his most favorite painting. And he was literally, we have it at the actual size down there at the exhibit, and he literally carried it underneath his arm whenever he traveled, and he would never let it out of his sight. And whenever he traveled, whatever room he was in, he would take it in there with him, and he always protected it. And he would never sell the Mona Lisa. And when King Francis I invited him to come to France after he died, he sought out the Mona Lisa, and he purchased it. And he tried to accumulate as many. He realized what a true genius Leonardo was, and he accumulated as much as the ideas and drawings and robots and inventions that Leonardo had. And he started what he called the Exhibition of the Kings, which is now in downtown Paris, the Louvre. Mm-hmm. So out of all the famous French sculptors and painters down through the century, it was an Italian, Leonardo da Vinci, that started the most famous museum in the history of the world.
Wow. Now, I mentioned jokingly earlier on the whole Dan Brown thing with the Da Vinci Code. Palpable nonsense, right?
Well, as I alluded to earlier, what we consider the Da Vinci Code is how Leonardo tried to protect his ideas.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to his ideas, like I said, to fall in the wrong hands. And he literally taught himself. And back then, in the 1500s, if you were left-handed, that was considered the sign of the devil.
Right.
And all pens were made for right-handed people. And Leonardo taught himself how to write backwards, left-handed, what we call mirror script. And so if we were in a classroom situation, he could, and the ink was still wet, you could put another piece of paper on top of it, you could turn it over, and you could immediately share his ideas. So he's
the first copier.
Exactly right. He's now given the idea for the first duplicate copies.
Oh, man. But 1500,
wow,
Dan.
That's unreal.
But, you know,
By the way, that's what a copier costs now. In the year 1500. Yeah.
But that's what we call the Da Vinci Code, is the protection of his ideas, and that he wanted to keep his ideas to himself and let them out to whoever.
Okay, but what about the stuff that Dan Brown has in the book and which showed up in the Tom Hanks movie about, I can't remember what it's called. The
Cryptex.
The Cryptex.
Yeah, and we've got one of those on display down there because you have to have one because that's so famous.
Because people want to know.
You know, the heart of the Leonardo da Vinci Museum in Florence, they really don't think the Da Vinci Code is as it is described in the, you know,
that's fiction.
It's fiction.
Yeah.
It makes a great story. I loved it. But we really think it's a protection of his ideas.
The thing that bothers me about that is there's so much brilliance that's true about this man. You didn't have to make up something that was mysterious and amazing. The guy was already amazing. Look at all the stuff that you guys have on exhibit here in St. Louis, which is just a small portion of what this man accomplished in his life. And then you had to go and make something up so that people would be interested. How about all the stuff we just talked about?
Oh, I know. And what you're seeing here is basically a thimbleful of his life. And I mean, we give the walking tours. They last about 35 and 40 minutes. You could literally give a tour that lasts all day.
Yeah.
You could give a course, a seminar on it. And you're right. You don't have to make up a thing. And, you know, the one part that you alluded to earlier is that seeing him in the future, I mean, seeing his inventions and how they were used in the future. I mean, he knew his airships were unstable. He knew when you got up in the air, you needed help. And he came up, we need a parachute. And he was able to come up with the idea for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's just that when you take all the levels and you peel away all the levels of Leonardo da Vinci, every time you get closer to the center, you're more amazed.
Fascinating. All right, let's get the plug in for the Da Vinci Machines exhibition, which is downtown. Again, as I pointed out, it's in the Bank of America Plaza. There's no Bank of America there, but they've taken over that space at Market and 8th Street. When will the tours be going on? What does it cost to go? Give us all the details.
Well, a couple of details. I mean, if you're looking for a holiday event for one of your company or a private event, you have it at the most unique venue in St. Louis this year. You could have it. We have space available down at the Da Vinci. We're open 10 to 6 every day. On Sundays, it's 12 to 6. We give $14 is general admission. Seniors, students, military, and teachers is $11. We have a group rates that are less than that in the $7 range. We've got a beautiful when you see this movie about Leonardo da Vinci, we've got a beautiful 60-inch TV provided by the Sound Room. And
when are the tours?
And the tours are every hour on the hour on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a nice size group, I mean 10 or 15 or 20, and you want to call us in advance, we will have a tour guide standing by for you anytime through the week.
It is a fantastic thing. Take your kids to go see this and really have them be inspired by true genius. That's what you're going to see in person when you go to see this exhibition. I'm so glad you brought it to town, John. And thank you so much for coming in and talking about
it. Paul, thanks for having us. We love KTRS. My niece, Tierney, and I, we listen to that, the Mizzou football games, all the time together on that. We're texting back and forth, so we love KTRS and just everything about the station.
Thank you so much. John Rogers, one of the curators of the Da Vinci Machines exhibition here in downtown St. Louis on the Big 550 KTRS.